Blog Talk Radio.
Northwest, and this is Chef Stuardo, and welcome to Foodomania for Saturday, July 14th. Yesterday was July 13th, and you know, a lot of people are kind of, you know, superstitious about July 13th, but it was just quite a lovely day here in the Northwest, so we're experiencing some unique, interesting weather. Remember last week was the desert show, and I was feeling a little poorly about it because I know so many people back east are sort of going through such heat spells. Well, I guess you threw it back to us because we've been having a seasonably high temperatures and just the threat of thunderstorms about every 10 minutes or so. We get a little jolt of lightning and thunder, and that's been going on for a couple of days and probably is going to continue for a few more days. Unfortunately, the downside is the fires that go with it. So be careful out there and drink a lot of water is what I can tell you. All right, I'm really happy to be here this morning. It's really basically a summary show, and I call it the Best of Foodomania Live, sort of a review show of all the weeks that we've been doing all our shows for so many weeks now. It's pretty exciting. This is today's show is show 13, actually, and I'm looking at my board in front of me right here, and I'm just amazed that we've covered so many topics, and I want to review some things. So I'm going to take a little sort of chunk from each show that we've done over the last several months and review some things. I want to tell you a couple of things. First of all, thanks for the good response. I've seen that many people were tuning in last week, and a lot of people have gone to the archives and listened, and that makes me feel really good because I guess you're interested in the kind of things that we talk about. Some of you have also tuned into my other radio shows on KSVR 91.7 FM here in Mount Vernon and KSVU 90.1 in Hamilton and Concrete in Washington State. And now we're back online there at www.ksvsamvisinvictorrisinrobert.org. And you can find me there Monday and Tuesday and Friday night, as well as the different shows, especially Kitchen Cuisine, which is Sunday night. And that's at 8 o'clock. So thank you for the response, and thank you for sticking with it. It means a lot. And we're going to keep it going. We're just going to get better and better every week. In a couple of more weeks, we'll be Skyping the show, and that will be really fun. So you'll be able to not only hear it, but see it as well. And I'll actually try to do some real-time cooking on the show, which is what I do on Kitchen Cuisine. But Foodomania takes it to a whole nother level. All right, so if we go back way to the beginning of this season, one of the first shows that I was really excited about talking about was Kitchen Gadgets. And the whole idea of that was to have the right tools sometimes is the most inspiring thing when you're actually preparing food. Now, I know for me, having just a couple of things like the right knife allows you to work easily. And I have a whole box of knives. And when I was a chef in the field, a lot of chefs carry their knife bag very proudly, or in some cases, even a toolbox converted to what the chef's tools would carry. And I did the same thing, and I had every single thing you can think of. I had a pastry bag. I had a dozen and a half to two dozen knives. I had little scoops and little potato peelers and a specific oyster knife that I really liked, and all the tools so that when you're on location or you're going to do your job, you have everything that you need. And it's always nice to have your own stuff because, number one, it's sharp, it's ready to go, it's clean. And at the end of the day, you can clean up everything, put it back in your box, and you know you have every tool that you need. So the whole idea of that first show was to say, now here's the deal. You know, sometimes if you have a little, whim to cook something, sometimes you might not have exactly the right thing. And kitchen gadgets and things like that, you can go to a kitchen store, and as you know, you can spend a fortune. The big department stores, they have beautiful things. And if you love food, I know people who are so hooked on food, they'd rather go and buy some sort of device, Sur La Table or Macy's or someplace like that, and go to the kitchen department first thing and pick up a new blender or some sort of new tool. In my my feeling about it is these days, you know, they're very expensive. But what I found, if you go to some of the thrift stores and go to garage sales, sometimes you can find these treasures for not a lot of money and improve the ability to cook certain things. Now, one of the things I talk about a lot are the grills, the portable grills, for instance, like the George Foreman grills. And, you know, those range, you can start out buying a new one for maybe $15 to $20, and they go up all the way to $100-plus. But I've seen them recently always in thrift stores and garage sales for a dollar or two. Now, it's not just about using it to cook meat. I found that those little grilling machines, even the smallest ones, if you can pick one up for a couple of dollars, you can use them for things like paninis, which is that really great Italian sandwich where you take some bread and some cheese and some meats or whatever you decide if you're a vegetarian, and then put a little teeny bit of olive oil on it, and then put this the weight of this grill on your sandwich and taste something really delicious. Now, to buy a real panini machine, and especially when you go to some of these sandwich shops, you'll see that they spend hundreds of dollars. So just for a couple of dollars, you can have yourself a panini machine, which would allow you to cook really good things that you might not have thought of cooking before for your kids and for your friends and family. All kinds of appetizers, all kinds of really, really neat little things. You can grill a little bit of eggplant on it. You can use it for all kinds of different things. So that's one item. Another item that I see a lot in most cases are used food processors of different kinds. Now, a food processor is a really good tool to have. And if you're okay with having something that's a little bit out of, you know, might not be the top-of-the-line Cuisinart, but, you know, you might end up finding a small little chef's pride or something like that, again, for just a couple of dollars, which can sometimes make your cooking and your food tasks a lot easier. For instance, if you're making a sauce and you need instantly to mince up some really fresh garlic, just seconds. As opposed to sitting there and chopping it and massing it, et cetera. So those are great. Another thing is sometimes you'll find some used coffee grinders. Well, you know what? Not so much for coffee, but to take fresh spices and grind those up for your cooking, especially if you're doing that at home. All right. Now, I also talked to you, remember, about grow boxes. That was, I think, show number two. And I told you how you could make a small little box if you live in an urban area and create your own little urban farm right on your patio, or if you just have a little balcony or porch. And I suggested sometimes you'll see at garage sales or sometimes at flea markets or even sometimes at thrift stores, drawers, like just drawers. You'll see an old dresser, maybe that's kind of funky and not great, but sometimes those old dressers have really nice plywood, untreated wood drawers. So if you can buy an old dresser for $5 or $10 and it has 3 to 4 drawers, you're going to end up being able to have 4 really great garden boxes that you can use for planting. And I'll tell you, they work really great. One of the things you need to remember is to just drill a few holes in the bottom of those. So therefore, when you are watering stuff, you can drain it. Now, make sure if you do that, that it's wood on the inside that's not treated with any shellac or stain or anything like that, because when that stuff gets wet, you really don't want the residue from that in your food. But I find that most of the time, drawers align with cedar or just clean plywood, and they work really good. Now, they may only last a season or two, but let me tell you what. If it's a matter of not wanting to get out in the yard and have to deal with cultivating and weeding, a simple garden box like that can provide you with some fresh basil, some lettuce, and just some basic herbs to make your cooking experience even better than ever. You know. Well, as you know, when you listen to Foodomania, I always try to categorize my shows as feasts. I do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think that every meal, no matter how simple or how complicated it is a feast. I really look at it that way. I think, my gosh, what we need to do is just celebrate every meal and make it special. Now, if you come to my house to eat, you'll know that I don't serve little teeny portions. And I don't serve just one little thing, leaving you saying, well, you know, that would be really good if it went with that. Sometimes I overdo it, but I always try to make it special. So I try to have a few different items to complement the dinner that I'm cooking, therefore calling it a feast. And my philosophy is if you're going to have guests, make sure that you're in a position that you can cook enough food so that there's just plenty. Because you can take your time if you have that luxury. You know, it's not just about the Thanksgiving and the Christmas dinners and the Easter dinners and that sort of thing. It's every meal that you serve, either for yourself, your significant other, or your family, should be a special time and a special feast. So therefore, I've categorized all the shows that we've done here as feasts. One thing I want to let you know, that if you go to, you know, if you go to Blog Talk Radio and you're listening right now, you can go to the archives and go back and listen to all the different feasts. But I'm really, it's fun to really feature these today. Let's take a second here. I got a really cool salad I want to tell you about. And then once you listen to that salad, we'll come back and keep reviewing our feasts. Now remember, please feel free to call in. Don't be shy. The number is 323-580-5779. We'd love to have you on the air with me to ask me any kind of question about any of the shows that you've been listening to with me, Chef Stewardo, and I'll be right back. Check this out. This is really special.
Well, as the weather gets a little bit warmer, we find ourselves wanting to eat a little bit more of fresh vegetables and salad. Here's a great salad I had very often when I lived in Spain, and I think you're just going to love it. First, here's what you need. You need a head of really nice, crunchy romaine lettuce. Two tomatoes, a half a cup of really nice Spanish olives, the green ones with the little red pimento in it will do good, a half a cup of corn. Now, you can use a frozen kernel, or if you have fresh corn, you can cook it and cut the kernels off, and that works really great. About 4 ounces of really nice tuna fish. If you go for the can, just get a can of nice albacore. Some olive oil, some fresh garlic, 2 pieces of crunchy French bread, a little bit of fresh feta cheese, about 3 green onions, and you're ready to go. Here's what you do. Make sure the lettuce is nice and cold. Take the top parts of the lettuce and keep the nice crunchy parts and cut them into small pieces. Take your tomatoes, cut them into wedges. Take your tuna, initially, take it out of the can, drain it really well, and put it in about 1/3 of an inch of olive oil. And just take the olive oil and baste the tuna with the olive oil. Cut a couple of pieces of fresh garlic and put it in the oil with the tuna as well. And let it sit in the fridge for about 2 hours. Now get a big bowl, take your nice cold lettuce, and place it in the bowl. And take your tomatoes and wedge them sort of around the lettuce. Take your olives, cut them in half, and just go ahead and toss them over everything in the bowl. Take your corn and do the same thing, just sort of toss it over all the lettuce. Then, slowly, take the tuna with a fork and take the chunks and spread them really nicely over the whole salad. Then take the remaining olive oil, it's already gotten a little bit of the tuna, and sprinkle that over the top. Now take the pieces of bread, spread a little bit more of that olive oil over the bread, and put them in a frying pan and just saute them lightly until they're golden brown. Then take a knife and cut them into small cubes and throw that over your salad. You've just made kind of a simple, quick crouton. And take your scallion onions, clean them really well, and stick them right inside the salad. I like to take the juice of about a half of a lemon and squeeze it over the whole thing. There you go. You have a fresh salad atún, something that they eat on the Spanish coast a lot in hot summery days. It's simple, it's inexpensive, and I think you'll love it. This is Chef Stewardo with another Cooking Minute. Hey, let's eat.
All right, I'm telling you, that is a delicious salad. And let me tell you how to get a copy of that, a hard copy, because, you know, when I'm doing these little Cooking Minutes, I'm kind of chatting away like I always do. So you can write me directly at Chef Stewardo, that's C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. If you'd like to do that, and in the subject line you put Spanish tuna salad, STS, I will absolutely be mailing back a hard copy of that. So you'll have the ingredients and the way to do it. All right. Well, the weather is dictating to try to eat al fresco or outside as much as possible. And our grilling show a couple of weeks ago, absolutely back in June on the 16th, was really, really fun because we talked a lot about the different types of things that we can grill. And one of the great things we talked about, which was really fun, and we even talked about it a little bit last week, was using that backyard fire to even do your own pizza, to do portobello steaks, to do things on the grill that are a little bit different, whether you're a vegetarian or a meat eater. You know, the thing is, grilling does not, you know, a lot of people think grill immediately, say, well, what am I going to eat? Well, you know, there's a lot of things you can do for grilling. Now, everybody has their preference on the kind of grill that they want to use. In some cases, it's going to be a propane, you know, easy deal where you just turn it on, you have those lava rocks getting hot, and you're cooking in a couple of minutes. I'm an old-fashioned person. I like to use the old mesquite charcoal type of grill, and I have one of each, actually, because sometimes, you know, you just want to do something quick. Sometimes you want to do something a little, you know, fast and just get it done, or sometimes you have a little bit of luxury of time. And one of the reasons I like doing it with wood or charcoal, and I'm talking about really a natural charcoal, is because sometimes you have a little bit more control over it. For instance, one of the things I love to do is when you have a good wood fire and you got those coals really building up, I love to take potatoes and wrap them up and then bury them in the coals. I also like to take different sorts of vegetables like that. You can marinate a really, really good chunk of tofu if you're a tofu lover, as I am, and you can take that and marinate it overnight in ginger and some soy sauce and lime, and then wrap it really, really well in some tin foil, and then bury that in the coals. Now, I want to tell you another trick with grilling and burying. Lots of times you don't know, people are funny about tin foil and aluminum foil, and there's been different theories about it that it's really not a good thing to use. And I totally understand that and agree with it. In some cases, ingesting too much drink out of an aluminum can is not really a great idea. There are different theories about it. You can read about it. If you're a little bit conscious of the health aspect, you might want to find another way to do it. So I found, and I've seen in the stores as well and in the cooking stores, very inexpensive little metal containers with hard lids on them. Now, you have to think in terms of the fact that when you get these, they're going to look kind of funky after you use them for a while. But here's a good trick. You can buy these metal containers, and in some cases they actually have small little vent holes, which absolutely are designed in a way that they will not, you know, let any of the coal or dirt come into the thing. Now, in lots of cases, if you find these metal containers sometimes used, make sure that they're just the pure metal. They don't have any kind of lacquer or enamel on them because that's not going to work. And what I have done, because sometimes, like I said, you're not going to get the ones that are perforated, you can very carefully use a very, very thin drill bit and drill two or three different holes around different parts of it. And that will, once you drill a hole from the outside on the end, take a little wood punch and then punch it back so you're not having a, you're basically sealing the hole a little bit more, but keeping it open enough to let the air go through. This is a really good trick. If you get the right size, you can put a chicken in it. Literally, you can put a boneless breast of chicken in it. You can put potatoes in it. You can put eggplants marinated or the tofu. Close it up really well and carefully bury it in the coals, and you'll have an amazing different kind of a cooking experience that you've ever had before. Lots of people say, how are we going to cook that? Well, we're going to bury it. Well, you've heard of that. Lots of times they'll do a giant pig roast. In Hawaii, they do that a lot where they'll dig a pit and they'll bury the pig and cover it with coals and put the dirt on top of it and just let it do its thing for, you know, 5 to 10 hours. It's an amazing process. So try that next time if you're using a conventional regular wood fire, or even if you're camping, you can do that. Now, again, using tin foil in this way a couple of times here and there is not going to cause much risk to you. Make sure you get the heavy kind because that's what you want to be able to get. The cheaper stuff ends up just breaking away and you're losing all the quality of the food that way. So that's the grilling thing, a little burying of it. Another thing that we didn't really talk about too much in the grilling show, but I remembered afterwards. So there's a lot of things you can do with the barbecue and the outdoor grill. I really love doing breakfast outside in the morning. A fun thing, that's where the propane one comes in handy. Think about that. If you have a propane grill, wake up your significant other or get your family together, prepare it in advance, get them outside early in the morning, get some nice, hot, beautiful coffee going, some fresh orange juice, and then go ahead and grill your toast on the grill, get your little frying pans and do your eggs and do your bacon in a small pan. And it's a combination of just being outside and the smell of morning breakfast outside. That's another really great grilling experience that you can have. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I would suggest. All right, we've done so many different feasts. One of the favorite ones that I really love is the vegetarian feast, which, again, happened in the beginning of June. And that was basically to show you a certain way to be able to do things a little bit different as far as a vegetarian. That people think that just because you're a vegetarian, all you're eating is cheese or you're eating pasta, or you're eating stuff that, you know, basically you don't, you know, think that, you know, will have any kind of meat content in it or anything like that. But what I find in vegetarian cooking, being a vegetarian for so many years, there's so many aspects of vegetarianism that you can do great. I used to make one of the greatest chicken parmesans with imitation, chicken, you know, the stuff that you get, the vegetarian soy patties, excellent stuff. But the feast, again, with a vegetarian feast, consists of different courses, usually a salad course, something really unique where you can add things that normally make your salad a little bit bigger, sort of like the Spanish salad with maybe shuck some fresh corn in there, some really assorted olives, and grilled and roasted vegetables that really, really go really well. That's always a lot of fun as well. So you have a lot of choices there. While my little hound dogs are barking in the background, I'm going to play you another little bit that I think you'll really like. It's a great dessert. I want you to check this out.
You know, lots of times during this time of the year, I long for that bell that comes ringing down the street at a certain time of day, signaling the ice cream man is arriving. Here's a really cool combination of things to make yourself a dessert that you can share with your family, your friends, or, like me, you might just eat it by yourself. It's my own version of strawberry cheesecake ice cream, and here's what you need. You need some vanilla ice cream, preferably the French vanilla, about a pint of fresh strawberries, and if you can't find those right now, good bag of frozen sliced strawberries will do. You need about a dozen graham crackers. I like the kind with the cinnamon sugar on top. Some softened cream cheese. You need a large bowl, and you need an ice cream appetite.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. Take the large bowl.
Yeah.
Keep the ice cream out for a little bit and let it soften. Put it into the bowl. Same thing with the cream cheese. If it's a bit softened, spoon your cream cheese on top of the ice cream. Dump the strawberries over the top and crumble all the graham crackers on top of it. Mix it up kind of slowly. By the way, save a little bit of the strawberries and juice on the side for when you're ready to eat it. Put it back in the freezer for about a half hour to 45 minutes. Pull it out and you will have your own version of my strawberry cheesecake ice cream. Put it in a big bowl. Take the leftover strawberries and juice and dump it over the top. I like to put a little whipped cream and chocolate syrup on it myself. If you really want to, you could slice up a nice banana over the top as well and share it with your friends. Or like I said, sit back, stretch your feet, get a big spoon in a big bowl, and enjoy it yourself. Each bite containing the sweet vanilla ice cream mixed with that nice cream cheese, the crunchiness of the graham cracker, the fresh strawberries and juice, and of course all the other things you feel like adding to it. Who needs the ice cream bell? We don't for this dessert. This is Chef Stuardo with another Cooking Minute. Hey, let's eat!
All right, incredible. And that is that strawberry cheesecake ice cream. We have a bunch of howling dogs here. You probably heard me talking to them in the background, but that's the way it goes because I'm talking about food and they're getting all excited. The beagles and the golden retrievers and everybody else that's hanging around here. We got the whole family of dogs here. All right, well, I'm so excited about this show because we're reviewing some of the great things. Another part of one of the shows that we did also early in June was the fish feast, and that was really, really fun. And a lot of people wrote in about the salmon tent, and I really love that. But the two recipes that I got the most calls for were the shrimp stewie, which was my version of a shrimp louie, and mostly the baked clams. So really quickly, let's review the baked clams really again. So this way, if you didn't hear that show or haven't had a chance to go to the archive, this is something you can try right now, and they're great. Here's what you do. Get a pound of clams, little necks, really nice-sized clams. You can use drying clams, that's whatever you can get, but make sure they're really fresh. All right. Then you want to assemble yourself some breadcrumbs, a bit of melted butter, some minced garlic, some fresh parsley, and you're going to make sort of a mixture of all that. You're going to take the breadcrumbs in a bowl, add the fresh parsley, the minced garlic, about a third of a little small cup of melted butter and a little bit of olive oil, and I also take a little bit of lemon juice and squeeze it in there and mix it really well until it's paste, until you pick up a little bit of the mixture and you can actually press it and it sticks together. When I say sticks together, you can form like a little thing with it. Now, take your clams, fresh, put them into a nice little pan, add about a cup of water, a little bit of white wine if you so desire, and a little bit of butter, a couple of fresh basil leaves, a little bit of thyme maybe or rosemary. Go ahead and cover them and steam them just until they start to open. As soon as they open, go ahead, save the juice. It's really good. Take a colander, dump the clams in the colander and put a bowl under it to save all that juice because we'll want to use a little bit of that later. Then let them cool a little bit and carefully twist each shell off and lay all the half clams with the pulp in it right inside onto a baking tray. Now, you don't want to play with the clams too much. Some people actually like to take a little clam knife and jar them loose. I don't. Let's leave them exactly the way they are. Now, go ahead and take a little spoonful of your mixture and go ahead and push it into the clam, actually covering the top. One of the things that I also like to do, once you cover each of the clams and lay them out, take a little teeny bit of Parmesan cheese and sprinkle it over the top. Now, the juice that we left for the clam, take about a half of a cup of that and a little bit of melted butter and a little bit of olive oil and put that on the side. Now, for each clam, you're going to take just a drizzle, a teeny bit of olive oil over the top of the clam and go ahead and stick them in the oven. What I like to do is put them in the oven for maybe 4 or 5 minutes and then turn on the broiler for just like about 35 seconds to crisp the top. Go ahead and pull them out. Do a little pinch of Parmesan over the top. And let me tell you what, you are going to be sucking the clams out of the shell. You'll never have a clam or a baked clam experience like that in your life. You can add a little bit of, squeeze lemon. And also sometimes what I like to do, believe it or not, is I like to keep that little broth that we kept on the side, a little bit of the lemon juice, the broth. Make sure you strain it really well, the garlic and the butter and the herbs, and take a little bit of French bread or something and just dip it in that juice and just while you're eating the baked clams. It's a phenomenal appetizer, and it's something you'll really, really like. And that was the fish feast, and that is in our archive as well, and that was the June 9th show. So I hope that you'll go to the archive. All you have to do is go to Blog Talk Radio, and in the subject, search line, put in Foodomania, and you'll get all the shows listed, and you can spend some time listening to them again. Most importantly, here's how you get in touch with me. Please write me at chefstuarto@hotmail.com. That's C-H-E-F as in Frank, S-T-U-A-R-T-O @hotmail.com. You also, please, besides the Chef Stuarto, you can also reach me at 1020 Radio. That's 1020 Word Radio right next to it. @gmail.com. Either one of those. Make sure you go to 1020 Radio. It's www.1020radio.net. Check some of the shows that I have on my little radio station. And also, please join me at KSVR, which is www.ksvsamvsinvictorrsandrobert.org. And you can listen online anytime. Check the schedule for my shows. They're all listed there. There's some really good ones that are archived. If you go to the archive section, either on the 1020 Radio site or the KSVR site, you'll hear all kinds of great specials. On the 1020 Radio site, you'll hear there's a lot of food stuff to listen to and to enjoy. So I hope you'll join me over there for that. A lot to look forward to. All right. Well, I'm excited. I appreciate you being here. We just had a great show today. We just went over a lot of things from the old days. And if you missed this show, or you want to tell a friend about it, it'll be up online to listen to in about 10 minutes after the broadcast. It'll be ready to replay at your convenience. Thank you so much for being here today. I look forward to next week's show, and we'll have a really, really good time next week's show because you know what? It's the dessert feast. And join me when we use and cook with the first crop of the fresh Washington State peaches and apricots, which actually I'm going to pick up in just a few minutes, specially brought over from Eastern Washington, and I'll be experimenting, getting things ready for our cooking event next Saturday. By the way, I'll be cooking live on Foodomania next week, so you'll actually join me in the kitchen, which will be something unique and fantastic. Okay, next time, this is Chef Stuarto saying adios. See you soon. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Feeling sorry and sad, I couldn't sympathize. there's nothing I